This is Relationship, a podcast presenting a gay look at traditional relationships and values.
With your hosts, the Cratellis. I'm Marco.
And I'm Tony.
Been down, been up, been broke, broke down, bounce back. Been off, been on, been back. What you know about that? Been the light, been dark, been the truth, been the king, be energy. I've been thick, been fine, still a 10, still here, that's all me. Black like love too deep, dance to the soles of my feet. Green eyes envy me, paint the world's pussy pink. Blue like the soul I crown, purple drink in couture gowns. Gold fangs and shade God made, blue, black, white, and brown. Paint the town red like cinnamon, yellow diamonds, limoncello, glycerin, renaissance, yacht, and in Capri. It was too much.
Little breath control.
It's so much. Oh my gosh.
Things overheard.
It just becomes, I'm like, I don't know how she, I mean, granted, she probably did it in multiple takes.
That's how she does it.
But I don't know. She is Beyonce. She's superhuman. And so she probably got in that booth and
she probably had more practice.
She probably did it in one take and was like, okay, that's it. Let's roll with that. That's a good one. Bye. Thank you, girls.
It's like you were there.
If only. Hi.
Hello.
How art thou?
I art good. How art thou?
I am thriving.
Sorry, it's the Comic-Con. We had to keep the art thous going.
That's a Comic-Con thing?
I mean, it's a general nerd thing, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I said renaissance, and you decided to start. I get it.
And welcome.
It's always back to Beyonce. Always back to Beyonce. Yes, I'm doing well. So this weather has been really affecting my nose.
Yes.
and your knees. And my knees, mm-hmm. and my lower back. It's all a whole thing. But my nose.
Definitely no blowjobs.
No, you trying
no
to
knees,
kill me?
No breathing.
Trying to kill me is what you're trying to do. No, I am.
That's the secret, Marco. I'm always trying to kill you.
I've been having this burning sensation in my nose. I had to say that really quickly.
Very quickly. Yep. If I wasn't about to take a sip of coffee.
Yeah. No, it's literally my right nostril literally feels like there is a burn on the inside of it and it will not go away. And I feel like I'm constantly in a state and everyone
being ready to sneeze.
Yes. And anyone who knows what it feels like to need to sneeze but it won't come out knows that it is torture.
You're in the torture. You're in the mood. The and an achoo.
That is the clinical definition.
The state of mind.
That is the clinical definition, yes. So even
I'm gonna call on Florida again. I think there's a meme there.
There's something. That's something. So even with this, I'm in that monotoned voice part of my life right now because I can't even hear. My ears are plugged too, so I can't even hear myself, which is the weirdest part too.
Well, you sound great.
Well, don't thank you. You're so sweet to me. So you're doing good, feeling well.
I'm feeling better. I don't want to jinx it, but I have more energy.
The energy?
No. Oh. D energy.
Oh, Jesus. Tell me more.
Not online. But yeah, no, I feel like I have better energy. My mood is much improved. You know, it's crazy what having answers and a treatment plan will do for you.
Yeah, I mean, yes. I also think time. I think that that is another thing that we forget because I think it is a fault of ours. It is something that we're not very good at. But because we're so devoted to trying to quote unquote get back to normal, right? Mm-hmm. Get back to work. Get back mm-hmm. to managing mm-hmm. the household, doing all these things. We never give ourselves the time to actually sit back, relax, do nothing, and take care of ourselves.
Right.
And so it's a huge problem that we end up having. And next thing you know, we're not able to get better because we've pushed ourselves to the limits. And that right there within itself is a problem.
Mm-hmm. It's
true. A problem.
It's true.
And so, because
we're just now at the six of 6 to 8 weeks that it would normally take to, get well.
Sure.
And of course, there was, you know, the rehospitalization. So I'm sure that would restart the clock.
Well, and again, you were tired. You were tired. Things were like really. It's been a whole thing. But yeah. Anyways, that being said,
I'm on my way back to good.
Yeah. Yes. I'm so
glad. How you doing?
I'm great. I am
liar.
Yes. No, I'm fine. I'm getting back to normal. I feel like life is good. So we promised these hoes that we would talk a little bit about some of the adventures that we got to take, while we were on our break, because we haven't done that yet. Mm-hmm. We've left them out of all of the fun that we got to talk about. So one of the first things that I wanted to talk about that we got to do was, we went to a spa.
Oh, and we're going back.
And we're
going
to go back to the spa soon. Yeah. So that was both of our first experience at a spa.
We went to, it was the first time at a spa like that. Cause you remember one Valentine's Day, I took us for a massage and it had like a plus a little bit of a spa experience. Yeah. Remember?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it was, but it was mini. This was all day, all the amenities.
Yeah. It was really cool. We paid
$109,
like $110 per person, mm-hmm. I think. And we got to go to a spa.
It was $109.
It was $110.
Just messing with you.
And we, it was great because we got there early in the morning.
We got there right when they opened.
At like 9 o'clock. Yeah.
There was like four people in front of us.
Yeah. It was like super easy. And then we got in there and it was great because it's a barefoot facility. So that means that you literally have to put your shoes in a locker, a completely separate locker.
Check on the your very shoes bottom and floor. Your stress at the door.
And then we went upstairs and it's like a robe facility where literally you wear your swim shorts and then you walk around in a robe all day.
It was lovely.
And it was so fucking cool.
Many floors.
And so the very top, I'm working my way down.
a good bottom. Start at the top.
You really tried that.
Like the listeners don't know by now, Marco.
You really tried that. So at the rooftop, there was, an infinity pool that was really cool.
Unobstructed view of Manhattan.
Uh-huh. That was great. And then we worked our way down and then there was a tremendous amount of, like baths and mm-hmm. things that you can go in. There was like a hydro bath where you can like massage like your hips, your legs, your shoulders,
bottom of your feet.
It was like incredible. Mm-hmm. And then there was a couple of other baths. There was like a silk bath.
Don't say a couple of baths. Don't skim over the best, in my opinion, the best part of the whole place.
Okay.
The baths.
Okay.
Yeah. Not a couple of baths. It was like eight.
No, that's a bit of an exaggeration. There was a total of, if I'm counting correctly, there's three.
There's the foot
bath. But that wasn't a bath. And so
the hydro was, you could soak.
That was a bath. Yeah. And then there was the silk bath.
The silk, which was amazing.
There was the carbon rich one.
The carbon one. The waterfall.
And then there was the waterfall, which wasn't really a bath, but it was like a cold waterfall. And then there was also the wood one. There was four. There's four actual soaks.
There's a bunch of things on that floor. How about that?
So, yes. So there was that and those were great. And then on the floor below that,
well, wait, on that same floor, there was also a couple of saunas that were like the big stone Japanese. Remember that we couldn't even stay in for very long cause it was so hot.
Yes, there was that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was cool.
And then you work your way down and there's like essentially all of the saunas, like where there's, like a red brick sauna. There's a salt sauna.
The ionized, the infrared one.
There was a ice sauna, which was really cool.
That was a great break in between the saunas.
Uh-huh. That one was really nice as well.
And the regular coal. Yeah. It was a bunch.
And it was great. And we literally stayed there all day. I think we left at 5 o'clock.
The food was extremely generous and delicious.
The food was wonderful. Mm-hmm. We had a good time there. Yeah. The whole thing was a really great experience. So I really liked that experience for us. That mm-hmm. So I'm kind of bringing this back to us and the reason why we decided to take the break. But it was a really great opportunity for us to experience something like that together. Mm-hmm. Because we don't really have, you know, Tony and I think, as you all know, we work full time. We have full time careers. And then the podcast is kind of our part time job, if you will.
it's a job.
And so like our weekends, we really only have like one day where we kind of have to connect with each other, shop for the weekend, prepare the home for the weekend,
God deal forbid, with the talk animals, to other people.
Talk to other, see our friends, you know, get all of this shit done all in like a one day situation. Cause the other day in the weekend is completely podcasts, you know, right. rich. And so this was a really great opportunity for us to like not only relax and connect with one another, but also be able to like do nothing. I got a massage while I was there. That was literally one of the best massages I've ever had in my entire life.
That's what you said. Yeah.
And we came home and we were literally able to just like crawl into bed, hang out with one another, like do nothing and just
sit back and relax. A puddle of jelly.
Yeah.
It was delightful.
It was necessary.
I was afraid to drive.
you didn't drive.
Because I was afraid to drive. I was jelly.
Yeah, but it was just a really great opportunity for us to like, again, just decompress,
mm-hmm.
connect, mm-hmm. enjoy something, do mm-hmm. something that we've never done before. It was like the best money I think we've ever spent in an opportunity. Like that $100 that made sense. Well, that was a completely different price tier. But
I just literally ran through everything in my head from our entire history. I was like, yeah, except the dog.
Yeah. But yeah, it meant a lot. It meant mm-hmm. a lot. It felt great. Like the whole thing was just perfect. And so, you know, anybody listening to this, whether you're coupled or uncoupled, spend money on yourself. Do things for yourself. Give yourself the opportunity to disconnect and decompress. You know, we didn't have our cell phones the entire time we were there. Mm-hmm. Although I did like video some content and things like that. So that like I was able to do that, but we did not talk on the phone because you can't talk on the phone mm-hmm. while you're there. So, you know, we did not talk on the phone. We were not tweeting. We were not Instagramming. We weren't doing anything but relaxing being mm-hmm. and being present and connecting with each other. And nothing was better than sitting in a bath with Steve and Erica and you and me and like talking about life and how good this feels and how our bodies feel and just talking about things, you know, like being with each other, mm-hmm. you know, and not necessarily being connected to the world. And that just felt really, really lovely. And I love that. And I highly recommend it. So again, anybody listening to this, I highly recommend you give yourself that opportunity to connect and decompress and be with yourself and with your partner and turn off the world. It is really necessary, and I don't think that we as people do it enough.
Agreed.
So yeah, that was one of our adventures. We'll bring you another adventure on the next episode so that you can hear what the Critellis were up to during our break. So what say you, we hop into our hashtag gay relationship or queer relationship goals. I haven't done that in a very long time.
It's been a while.
Super weird, huh?
So you're sorry.
I'm not sorry. It was an accident. I think anybody listening to this knows that there was no intention behind it. So let's hop into our hashtag queer relationship goals for the week. Tony and I have picked a wonderful sidebar really quickly. I'm really trying to practice not apologizing for things that I don't have to apologize for. I think we as people, especially people as people of color, have a really hard time doing things like we say sorry about things all the time. We apologize. We're in someone's way, we say sorry and the other person doesn't do it. You know, like I really want to stop and it's not something I'm very good at, but I'm really trying super duper hard to stop apologizing for things that like don't need an apology for. It that was an innocent human mistake, and so I'm not going to apologize for it. I think everyone knows that my intentions weren't impure or you know it was an accident. So moving on. That being said, let's hop into our hashtag queer relationship goals. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Tony and I have picked a wonderful queer couple to highlight and praise as a positive representation of a relationship within the queer community. If you are interested in becoming our hashtag queer relationship goals in a future show, or if there's a queer relationship that inspires you, please tag us in your photos on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. Our handle is @podrelationship. Together, let's further the movement that shines queer relationships in a positive light. So, this week's couple is literally, I think, one of my favorite couples that we've ever highlighted.
Oh, yes. I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there right now. This is going to be my vote for QRG of the year.
Oh, we're accepting nominations right now. I think that's what we should also do too, like on the episode, is give everybody the opportunity to vote for their favorite couple that we've highlighted so that we can make sure to give them that crown, which is going to be wonderful. So anyways, this week we are highlighting the relationship of Jess and Andy. They are at Two Babes, One Barn. So that's TWOBABESONEBARN on Instagram. So check them out there. They're also on TikTok as well. Obsessed.
Totally.
Obsessed with them.
Couldn't be more obsessed.
They're so great. First of all, they live in Reno, which they already got my heart there. Because if you don't know me, you know that I went to college in Reno and I lived in Reno for like almost 6 years. Mm-hmm. And so Reno has a special place in my heart. I love them. Number two, I think this is the very first time, and I could be completely wrong, and if I am, one of our listeners will correct me. But I think this is the first time that we are highlighting a true queer couple, as Andy is non-binary. They identify as they, them.
No, we've had a couple of non-binary.
Have we? Before. Okay. Yeah. Oh, I don't, okay. Like I said, I don't remember. But Andy identifies as they, them. Jess is she, her. So I love the gender queerness that is taking place within this relationship. And they're fucking both like stupid gorgeous too, which is something else that I really love. And then even beyond that, they are parents. Mm-hmm. They have a teeny tiny widow baby that is so cute.
Named Milo
Hendrix, which come on, that is just a perfect name. And I like everything about them. Is, I mean, they are an interracial couple. They're just super cute. And I know one of the things that you love the most about them is that they're farm people.
Yeah. What are they, Marco?
Farm people. I don't know what that means.
Yes, a plethora of dogs and goats, which I am always a huge fan of. But also, their home is stunning.
Yeah.
Stunning. And so are they, as you said, two of the most gorgeous people on the planet, without a doubt. And super stylish, but also dresses up like the Grinch and twerks. Like, ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Absolutely mm-hmm. ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you want a second child, please adopt me.
I'm sorry. I want to go back to the twerking Grinch.
Because... I mean, if ever a line was said.
Because it was that literally solidified it for me. I was like, oh, they are perfect. Because I have never in my life, I mean, only next to like Megan Thee Stallion, have I seen such amazing twerking skills in my entire life. I never knew I was a fan of the Grinch.
You're right. It's incredible. And of course, you get all the intimacy, you get all the love, you get the world traveling stuff that we always like. It's incredible. But I have to say, and this is, as a fellow farm person, I have to say, the barn is really like immaculately crafted. Like, it's really a great barn.
Well, I really like this era these days of people taking something, right? Because like, I think that like a trailer, a barn and stuff like that, I think that like the connotation that is associated with those types of things makes it feel hokey or, you know, bottom shelf, if you will. And I like that people are taking these things now and actually like elevating them and making them feel luxury and cool. And I think it's so much fun. So anyways, yeah. I'm obsessed with them. I think that they are by far one of the most perfect couples I've ever witnessed.
I'm just going to say right now, you're going to have a tough time breaking my vote because they got mine. I know that. I know, no shade to any of the couples throughout the year. You know, I love all of you. You are brilliant and beautiful, but this is just next level.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. So, I mean, listeners, where is your vote at? Tell us what you think thus far. Obviously, at the end of the year, Tony and I do our top five couples for the season. Tony is putting Jess and Andy in there as his number one couple. What do y'all think? Check them out on Instagram. They are at Two Babes, One Barn. That is TWOBABES onebarn on Instagram. So check them out. Double Tap, love them, follow them, definitely support them. They are absolutely perfect and we are super obsessed with them. So check them out and let them know that the Cotelli sent you and let us know your thoughts. Tony and I are going to take a short break, but when we come back, we are going to try to solve the world's problems, Cotelli style.
Okay, it's my turn to start a Parasso ad.
Okay, so what's next?
Well, you always talk about how amazing the shave products are.
Because they are.
You're right. But we can't forget to talk about how amazing the beard products are, too.
I couldn't agree more.
So I wanted to talk about the beard wash, something I never thought I'd ever talk about, let alone use.
Well, that makes two of us.
Anyway, as a wearer of a beard, I know firsthand that the skin under your beard is really neglected. I also know that washing your beard with the shampoo you use on your head is bad for your beard.
Oh, for sure. It'll dry it out and make your skin all flaky and gross.
Well, the easy solution is the Parasso Beard Washes in 4 scents. Wood and Spice, Azure Lime, Cypress and Vetiver, and Refresh. These beard washes will not only make your beard clean and help it smell great, but it will also treat the skin under your beard to act as a sort of face wash to nourish your skin, make it feel great, and help promote healthy beard growth.
Wow, that is one very efficient beard wash.
Agreed. So if your beard could use some help, head over to parasso-usa.com right now and grab a beard wash and other great beard items, and use code RELATIONSHIP15 at checkout to get 15% off your purchase.
Yes, a clean, good smelling beard is always appreciated, and if you can save some money on the items, why not take advantage?
Right? That's code RELATIONSHIP15 at checkout to get 15% off your purchase at parasso-usa.com.
Hey, good job on your Parasso ad.
Why, thank you.
So I'm actually super excited about today's topic.
I'm bored with it.
That's because you're boring. No,
it's because I'm a contrarian.
That is true. I'm very excited about today's topic.
It's actually a really good one.
I think it's one of those things that like couples especially have a very hard time dealing with. And obviously we'll talk about it a little bit more once we get into like the articles and things. But, you know, the beginning of a relationship is always super passionate, right? It tends to be a lot of throwdown. I think we even see television shows and movies and they tell us that if you're not literally throwing each other against the wall and making out passionately with one another all the time, then there is just no passion in your relationship.
You got problems.
Yes.
You're in need of a generator.
Shout out
every episode Schitt's Creek.
And I think that the reality of life, especially when you've been with somebody for an extended period of time, is that life happens and life tends to overwhelm the relationship and the individuals involved in the relationship. And it's really hard to be super passionate and throw down like you once were. So today's topic is about scheduling intimacy and how it shouldn't be as taboo or weird or boring or vanilla as a lot of people make it out to be. And it's actually a really great way to keep that fire a burning.
Well, and you bring up two really great points that I wanted to challenge anyway, so let's do it now.
Okay.
So one, this fallacy that romance and spontaneity are dependent upon each other.
Right.
And that's just not the case. So like you said, in the movies, in TV shows, and I'll even take it a little further, in porn, you get this image that's what it's like. But you have to remember, that's a curated event that's meant to be a part of a larger work.
It's supposed to stimulate.
Exactly. It's supposed to make you feel for those characters and watch the show. That's what it's for.
Yeah.
So there's definitely that piece that I think is interesting. And then also the concept that like there could be something wrong with scheduling to keep the fire going. The fact is you actually were scheduling already and you just didn't know it. Because when you make a date with someone in the beginning of your relationship because you don't live with them and you schedule time, guess what you're doing? You're creating a space for sex. Ooh. So you may not be promising that you're going to have sex, but you have just scheduled the space, which when we finish talking, we get through the articles, it's actually going to be part of my final point is you're not actually scheduling sex, you're scheduling space.
Yeah.
And that space, ooh, holds intimacy.
That's fair.
Yeah. So it's interesting because, and we won't jump into the articles, but the one I read, that once again, Marco found for me, that's 2 weeks in a row that he's been an awesome husband. Y'all doing the job for me.
I'm perfect.
The article that I read, it does talk about that. I think that's incredible. So I don't want to, you brought it up, so I'll say it now, but that we'll save it the rest for the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think that those things are super important. And so obviously I want to ask you and have this open conversation about us and our relationship.
We don't do that.
We are failing at it altogether. We're failing at it altogether, which is, we just at the whole beginning of this podcast episode talked about how we have full-time careers. We have this podcast part-time. We try to make space for friends, for family, for fun, for
errands,
for the animals and all of this stuff. And so where is our time to connect with one another? I will answer that for you. Non-existent. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really exist. It's challenging. We're getting older. You had your health issues. I have my slew of health issues, and so it kind of takes us out of that intimacy, that connection, that sex that we could be having with one another because...
Well, it does for you. We know that just makes me hornier.
Oh, yes. You love a person in a hospital bed.
No, but you know me. I don't know why. When I get sick, I want to have sex.
That's true. Really weird. I'm like, you have a fever. I'm not really into the whole idea of it.
You don't have to kiss me. I'm like...
So those things are really, really difficult. It's very tough. I think in any relationship, it's really tough to get to that place, right? It's really, really tough to be intimate with one another. But I I'm glad both you and I are on the exact same page. Like, I read these articles and this topic, and I learned a lot from it and was like, oh shit, we're doing it all wrong. And the problem is that we, I think, blame each other for not giving each other what each other needs as part of that. Mm-hmm. And then we create this vicious cycle. Why do you think we do that? Or what do you think is missing or why we can't seem to get to that place?
I don't think you and I try enough new things. I think you and I just keep doing what we've always done.
It's fair.
Yeah. I really do think that's the issue is like, it's like right in front of our faces and like, we have a goddamn podcast about it and we have skills that we talk about and techniques to try. And I think you and I don't do them.
I think you and I are defaulters.
Yeah.
Like we default to our comfortabilities, right?
Which I think a lot of people do. You do what you know.
Easy. Yeah, yeah. That's super easy.
And so it's right in front of us. And literally like whether it's getting an article and trying we have a whole damn date book of adventures and it literally lays the foundation for you and we have not opened it.
Correct. Correct.
So I think the stuff is all right in front of us, whether it's, again, that date book, these articles, or if we were to go into marital counseling or couples therapy or anything like that, or sex therapy, I think it's all right there. It's like, we just got
to do it. We just have to do it.
Do it.
We just have to do it.
And I think we learned from the time off that we took and all the stuff that we did and how much fun that was and what that felt like. I think it's very clear that's what we need to do is just literally pull the trigger.
Well, and during that time period, and again, the podcast is not going anywhere, folks, so don't get scared about it. But I think that we also learned that during
it is time, if there's not more Patreon members.
Challenge accepted. I think that we learned during that time period because we had more sex during those 2 months mm-hmm. than we've had in previous months. And we had more intimacy, more time together, more laughing, more holding hands, more cuddling, more time to spend together with one another. And so that allowing and being able to schedule those things would probably allow us the opportunity to connect with each other even during our busy times, right?
Well, and you know what's so interesting is people are so reluctant. There's this almost like social construct that like if you have to schedule time for sex, you're failing. Mm. And again, it's a fallacy.
Life is not going to slow down. There's always going to be something, right? Yeah. There's always going to be bills. There's always going to be work. There's always going to be family commitments. There's always going to be friendly connections and social connections that you're going to have to make. There's going to be trips. There's going to be funerals. There's going to be health situations. There's going to be
Signage and the business cards and the caterers.
There's just so many things that are going to happen in life all the time. Yeah. And if you let those things overwhelm your life, you literally don't have time to, again, throw each other against a wall and ravage each other, you know, into sexual bliss. But you know what's
funny about all those things you just listed and other things too, like your doctor's appointments, your annual physical, your eye exam, your dental. You know what's crazy and they all have in common? You schedule them. You schedule them.
They're all scheduled.
You plan to meet with your friends. And if you think about it, people say, oh, I don't want it to treat it like work. Well, why do you do that at work? Oh, because it works. It makes you successful.
Sure.
So it's actually, and I thought this was a great thing about the article, and it definitely changed my way of thinking, which is it's actually a sign of a healthy relationship, not an unhealthy one, if you are dedicating time to it. If you're saying this is important and you're creating that space for it, I think it's actually a much better sign that it's healthy. So I hope today we can do some of the work to turn around the wrong stigma around the idea that scheduling sex or scheduling intimate space and time is a bad sign.
Right? Yeah, this is the first time, aside from the Renaissance episode, this is the first topic that we've talked about on the podcast in a very long time that actually motivated me and like made me overly eager to put it into work. I say the Renaissance.
Oh, I hear an alarm going off right now. Bye.
I say the Renaissance episode because, you know, that of course just made me want to continue to play the album.
Talking about Beyonce makes me want to talk about Beyonce.
That's
the secret to perpetual energy, right?
Correct.
There.
That's it.
Not nuclear power, correct. Not hydropower, correct. Just Beyonce.
Track number five, energy. Track number five. It really excited me. I read a good portion of your article, and then I read the article that I'm going to share. And we keep teasing these articles, and you guys get to be a little teased for a little bit longer. But I like read those things, and I was like, oh shit, like we can do this. Mm-hmm. Like we can actually do this. Like we can make this happen. Again, a lot of things, it's no secret. And I will 1000% say that my cancer diagnosis definitely plummeted my entire sexuality altogether. I think I felt like a Fabergé egg during that time frame. And I think you made me feel that way. And I think I made me feel that way too. Mm-hmm. I think I felt like I had to be handled with white gloves, and I was like super precious, you know, because that happened and the pandemic happened and all of that stuff happened at like back to back.
Well, your immune system was compromised. You were a Fabergé.
I was just weak. My sexuality was weak. I didn't like my body at the time period. Then after the surgery, like my surgery scars didn't make me like my body at all either. And then I went into gaining weight, which I'm the heaviest that I've ever been in my entire life. And while I love my body and I'm very happy with it, I'm having to like learn and understand what my body is like at this phase of my body, if that makes sense. And then, you know, I've been going into the pain management doctors and trying to figure the rheumatologist and trying to figure out with all these things. And I'm kind of, you know, understanding that now I'm arthritic as well. Like, and so I've got these things going on, and it doesn't make me feel sexy.
Yeah.
It doesn't make me feel desirable. Even though you make me feel desired, I have yet to find myself in all of that. And I'm still working on it. And it's something that is going to take a little bit of time, but it doesn't make me feel sexy. Like I don't feel, you know, I think back in the day, I think about like the start of our relationship, and I was 25 and I was fearless and I was skinny and, you know, and I was life wasn't heavy for me. Like things were great. So it was really easy to be, you know, light and fun and sexy. And, you know, I think about, you know, we did it on a couch and here and on a massage table and there. And it was like super easy to do those things. Well, again, time and circumstances and responsibilities take over. And it makes it really, really hard for you to do those things. It's hard to feel sexy when you're worried about your dog that's hacking, right? Or your cat that is potentially dying. Or, you know, again, where, you know, I'm beating myself up because I'm like, my body just won't allow me to do those positions anymore. You know, like, I just can't do those things. So it's hard to feel sexy under those times. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And so it's... But what I like about this article and this topic is that if we schedule it, if we schedule our intimacy, if we schedule our time to connect with one another, it gives me the ability to like look forward to something so I can plan. I can shower a little bit deeper, if you will. I can stretch if I need to. I can take the pain meds that I need to make sure that I feel good, and I can get that, and I can be present, and I can do all the social media stuff, so I don't have to worry about the podcast, because that night, that time is going to be devoted to you and me. And I think that is what's exciting to me, is it's a new challenge. And you know, I love a good challenge.
Yes, you do.
So it's like a new challenge for me to find a way to connect with you. And I think that it's so fucking cool. I really like it. So please talk about your article. I'm dying. I think our listeners are dying to find out what it's about.
Breath that is baited.
So baited.
So this one was what, BuzzFeed? Yeah. So they talk, it's a great article. They talk about a lot. And I'm just trying to think of like, we know that the issue is it's a social construct. It's view. It's perceived to be this problem. People will actually make a worried look on their face. And the
you
author
schedule sex?
Right. And the author even said, I was getting judgy looks from my friends until I said I actually prefer it that way. And then they were like supportive, which I think is really weird to begin with too. That's just, it's so strange. But for a lot of us, scheduling can feel like a chore or another checkbox on a to-do list, right? But as
I'm interrupting you. I apologize. But one of the things I like, because again, I did get to read a little bit of your article. I liked that she stated in the beginning of it that television shows like Scandal, right, showed Liv and Fitz like finding time to have sex in the Oval Office and in a stairwell. And, you know, it was contentious and passionate and, you know, everything was like a throwdown and, ooh, I hate you. Ooh, I love you. Ooh, take me now. And life is not like that. It's not scripted like that all the time, right? And so the problem is that we have way too many examples of that, those types of sexual encounters. The pizza boy, you know, rings the doorbell, you open it, he's hot, you're hot, let's, you know, get it hot and ready, you know, kind of thing like that. See what I did there? Right? But like, life is not always like that. I can't say that times like that don't happen, right? But especially within queer culture, because all you gays love having sex at the gym, right? So like, those things are, you know, happen. But life itself is not always a scripted programming,
right?
So don't beat yourself up if you can't get it up and hard and ready, you know, in those like super quick, oh, hi, neighbor, you're sexy. Oh, can I borrow a wrench and your penis at the same time? Oh. Like, you know, like those things don't happen all the time, and you don't have to beat yourself up behind it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, continue.
Yeah. No. So what's interesting, too, is the article goes into like some of the unexpected benefits of creating this space. So one thing that they talked about was there's some relief on one of the partners or both partners, because they know that their other partner will not be feeling lonely or forgotten. Because there's scheduled time now. So you know you're having sex. So you know that they're getting that gratification. Whereas when you don't schedule it, it's not happening. You know, so that's really cool. The other thing that I thought was interesting was and I wanted to see if this resonated true for you, is if there's one partner who has a higher, more frequent sex drive and one that has less of one, that the one that has a lesser sex drive in comparison would feel more present or more intimate because they knew they already had sex or had sex coming up. So they would engage in things like cuddling and hugging and kissing more often because there isn't the pressure of potential sex or disappointment. Does that sound...
I would like the record to reflect that I don't necessarily have a low sex drive.
Well, that's why I said lesser in comparison to.
Yeah, it's not that I have a low sex drive. I just require a little bit more finessing for intimate partner sex, if that makes any sense. And there's a word for it. I'm forgetting it. If anybody's listening to this and they remember it, you please reach out to us. But there's a name for it where like there's a group of people that can only have sex when like they're feeling connected to the person with whom they have sex with. So there's almost like a criteria to be able to get them there. And I need those things. So anyways, that being said, to answer your question, yes, I feel, especially as somebody who is not necessarily a touchy, feely kind of person, it would super help me to know not what role I have to play, but where I have to be mentally. Ahead of it. Like, right. If you let me know that this is what we're getting ready to do and how this has to be and its schedule, I can prepare myself for it and be present in that moment for it with no problems.
Yeah. And it's interesting because, of course, they talk about, as we always say, you know, you shouldn't be having sex if you don't want to. So just because you've scheduled the time doesn't mean that you have to go through it. But what they found that's interesting is that by scheduling the time and beginning the touching, the kissing, that the desire actually, like, the engaging in the doing gives rise to the actual desire and creates the space where the sex then can happen.
Sure.
So that's very interesting.
Sure.
Yeah. And then like I was saying before, the other thing that I really liked is that it's not really about scheduling time to have sex per se. It's scheduling time to connect, to be intimate, to show up for your partner. There's this, again, fallacy, I think, that because there isn't full penetration, you have somehow failed. And that's not the case. Just showing up for each other and keeping that time is success. That is success.
Yeah, well, I think that even, again, taking even an orgasm off the table and just taking time to connect with one another and be intimate and cuddle and watch a movie snuggled up with one another. And we'll get into this with my article is even...
Or not have the kids around or just talk.
It's just, is passion. Mm-hmm. That's passion. Yeah. That is building connection. And I think that we forget that sometimes too, that definitely. Again, like, you know, scheduling sex means that we have to schedule time to like... That's why the episode's called Scheduling Intimacy. It's not about scheduling. It's about scheduling time to connect with your partner to say that this is our time to be with one another. Mm-hmm. Whatever happens thereafter is just butter.
Based on us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is really cool. Yeah. But like from there, we don't have to necessarily like do that. Like it can be whatever we want it to be.
Yeah. And you know, it's about couples, but I firmly believe in the same thing for yourself, scheduling a date for yourself. And that doesn't have to lead to sex.
No,
it can just be about relaxing, connecting, or in some cases disconnecting. Like, yeah, I think it's super important.
I love that.
What about your article?
Great article. Thank you, Marco, for sharing that with Tony so that he could share that with the listeners. You all are great.
The sound of one man patting his own back.
Mm. See, I am flexible in that way. I read a really great article again that I really loved. It's The 9 Secrets Busy Couples Need to Make Time for Better Sex. And this is an article written by Dr. Christy Wise.
She made that name up.
Dr. Christy Wise.
Dr. Wise.
She's so wise that
so
Christy.
Wise. Also heir to the potato chip fortune.
Wise?
Yeah. It's the one with the eye.
Are those chips?
Uh-huh.
I don't, okay.
It's a very small fortune. They're not popular chips.
I was getting ready to say, I feel like I have more money than they do. I probably don't. I can't.
You don't know.
I can't produce my own potato chips tomorrow. Anyways, that being said, Christy opens up the article and says, let's face it, in a perfect world, we'd all have time to have those super long sexy sexual interludes that we had with our partner in the beginning of the relationship. Of course, it was a major priority in the beginning, but reality sets in and real life wedges its way between us. I have great news for you. No one is to blame. It's easy to get caught up in the busyness of everyday life, and you don't have to give up on those smoldering interludes. You've just got to know the secrets to make it happen. So I love that interlude, and I think that once you take the responsibility off of the people that are involved, it makes it so much better. Right? Because I think all too often a couple say, well, I want to have sex and they don't, right? Like, right. And so they're the one to blame, and then you talk to them and they're like, well, they won't leave me alone, like they always want sex, and that, you know, they're not being responsible for the children or for the life and things like that, but they just want my legs up in the air all the time. And so those things are you take the blame from the person. No one is to blame, which I love. But she goes through here. So she says, push the reset button. And these are the 9 ways that you can reintroduce that into your life. So 1 is get cuddly. Okay. When you touch, hug, or sit close to someone you love, your body naturally releases oxytocin. Scientists call oxytocin the cuddle hormone. This hormone helps us relax, lowers anxiety, increases feelings of attraction, and even lowers blood pressure. So she goes on to say that, like, even little things like sitting and being cuddled up with one another while watching TV kind of like breaks down those walls. It builds that connection. It gives you the opportunity to, like, be with one another and see each other and feel each other in a more passionate way.
I love it.
Which is really nice. 2, watch porn together. Which is very interesting. She says, allowing your partner to enter your private world opens a whole new level of intimacy. Fantasy is a wonderful part of a healthy sex life, and porn adds the repository of sexy scenarios in our heads. It can also inspire couples to experiment more openly inside or outside of the bedroom, which is really great. And she gives a really wonderful list of porn sites that offer female-friendly, queer-friendly, and couple-friendly alternatives, which is really nice too. Loved it already. I was like, Dr. Wise is very wise. And so I love that. She's earning that last name, let me tell you. 3, she says, embrace the quickie. It's a super sexy thought, but even sexier action. You are both horny. There is a raw urgency in the air, and you need it now. Having sex serves many purposes, and variation is certainly a good thing. Among other things, sex reinforces the private bond which exists between the two of you. Some things nobody else can share in. So, sometimes I think people think that sex has to be this long, drawn out, passionate.
I love, you know, the quickie.
Yeah, like this long, drawn out, passionate, like, let's schedule 2 hours to be able to, like, really engage in each other's body parts type situation. It doesn't really necessarily have to be that. It can be as simple as 7 to 10 minutes, get in, get out, pun intended, and connect with each other's body in a very primal way, in very, like, super to the point kind of way, which is not a problem. The 1, schedule sex time. I know the term scheduled sex evokes dread for most couples. It sounds so boring. We have this idea that sex is always supposed to be spontaneous. So making the decision to schedule sex feels like an admission that your sex life is officially dead. But scheduled sex can be way more fun than you think. With such limited time, busy couples may only see each other when tagging in and out of the bathroom in the morning or moments before passing out at night. It's not exactly quality time, if there's any time at all. So she goes on and says that, like, being able to do it gives you the ability, like, so scheduling like a date night, for example, like a trifecta, like a stroll in the park, a home cooked meal, and sex, like doing that and scheduling that type of situation gives you the ability to build the intimacy in a really great way, so that you can build that passion, right? So you do one thing and it's like, oh my God, that was fun. That was really passionate. We held hands while, like, you know, and then the next thing is you shared a meal, which meant that you, you know, kind of gave each other the mental and the mental pleasure that you were seeking with each other, right? So you did the physical, you did them, and then now you're going to do the sexual pleasure with each other, mm-hmm. right? So those things could be really nice, and it could be really fun. Put a pin in it is the next one. She says, we all know the pressure to spend quality time together and even more pressure to make it good when we finally do. Some couples can feel overwhelmed by so many important things going on in their lives and other pressing issues to talk about with so few opportunities. It feels like every encounter is an argument. There's so little free time together that we get frustrated more easily when things aren't going well because we don't want the little time we have to be ruined with tension or fight. So she says that what's really great here is learning how to appreciate your time together with one another, but setting aside specific time to address pressing issues. So getting things accomplished and like, kind of separating them, right? Mm-hmm. Like not bringing your shit into your date night, right? Because you have this night together with one another. Utilize that night to create intimacy. Put a pin in your issues, mm-hmm. but then address the issues later mm-hmm. and make sure that they're taken care of. Do right. not carry them over into your other mm-hmm. date night. Which is super easy mm-hmm. to do, because then you end up building all of this tension with each other and you're not lost able
that
to
time.
You're not able to connect with one mm-hmm. another. Don't do that. Put a pin in it, address it, and then get back to what really was supposed to matter when you scheduled that time together with each other. Next is, I think this is number 7. Learn how to communicate. Lack of communication is often what leads to sex droughts in a relationship. But did you know that couples who argue frequently are actually 10 times happier than couples that avoid conflict? So, Tony, I have great news for us. We're gonna be okay. Mm-hmm. We're gonna be okay. So she said better communication comes increased closeness in the relationship, and increased closeness leads to regular sex. So I think that's the next phase of the arguing that we have to do. But hearing each other, understanding each other's perspectives, and then being able to take that information to build more of a connection with each other, I think is really easy and helpful.
Sure.
I will say that you and I had it wasn't even an argument. I had kind of an SOS moment with you. And I spoke with you and let you know exactly what was going on with me. And literally in the middle of it, I said, I don't want to argue with you. I don't want to fight about it. This is where I'm at. And I just need you to help me and know that this is what's going on with me right now. And you responded so brilliantly to it. And you heard me and you immediately changed course. And you started doing things that were super helpful throughout the home. And it made me feel very heard. And so much so that even later on that evening, we were able to connect with each other, go out and have our own little bit of a date night and laugh and enjoy one another. And it made for a really, it made for a closeness that I don't know existed for a little bit, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. I love that. So number 8, find the micro moments. Run errands, grab lunch, share a shower, play hooky, or even set your alarm a few minutes earlier and make love before your busy days begin. That's way more appealing than pushing snooze. So like finding these moments to say, you know what? Yes, we have a busy day ahead of us, but why not just like find a micro moment to like find a little bit of a connection, spend those times so that we can get that out of the way. And then we can move on with the rest of life. Mm-hmm. Those things will help create some intimacy, which could be really good. I think my numbers are really off, by the way, because I think this is actually number 8. number 8 is masturbate with your partner.
While watching porn.
Yes. No, she talks about mutual masturbation and how being able to connect with your partner and see what really turns them on and how they find their own pleasure and what that looks like for themselves is really, really paramount. Mm. Because you can see how they touch themselves and how they like that and how that brings them to their climax. So you can hopefully replicate that during your next joint encounter with one another, you know, and so those things are really nice, and it can be a turn on, right? It could be such a turn on to see them intimately facing each other, like being able to do this, looking at each other, and, you know, while all of this is happening, like, where are they finding their pleasure, and how can I make that happen for them next time? And then the last one, stay connected. Staying connected to one another plays a massive role in keeping the spark and sexual desire in your relationship alive. Make sure that you stay connected to your partner throughout the day with texts and calls or voicemails, nudes. Even if she doesn't say nudes, I added that in. Even if you're busy, be sure to send sexy, loving, or caring texts whenever you get time. It's worth its weight in gold. And so those things are and can be very, very helpful to the relationship.
Delightfully practical. I like it.
It's good, right? Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed that article.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that it was super helpful, and it gave me, again, a lot to think about.
Yeah, again, laying the tools out there.
Yeah,
tool. Lay that tool out.
You better lay that tool out there. What did you learn from it?
From your article or from this discussion?
From this discussion.
I really like the idea that if you schedule sex, schedule intimacy, and even if you schedule, like, the frequency doesn't matter. So it could be once a month, it could be once a week, it could be once a quarter, like it's whatever. But if you schedule that, especially if there's an additional piece to it, like, we will have intimate time once a week, and in any given month, one of those days you'll initiate it, one of those days I'll initiate it. It takes the pressure off, which is really nice. And I think that's, like, a really critical tool. I really like that. I like the whole concept, but I especially like that where, because for me, that's also part of the, like, a bigger part of the problem is, like, as I feel like the person who's always initiating sex, to know that there's a technique or a way to just create space to say, okay, so one of these times you initiate it. That helps me, which I think is really fantastic. What's one thing you learned?
I learned that it does not, and we don't have to, like, we don't have to get to a certain way that is expected of us. I think we put so much pressure on ourselves to be a particular way.
Oh yeah, normal doesn't exist.
And I think that letting go of that and feeling as though, like, it needs to be like this. Like, this has to do, and, like, that doesn't exist. What you need to do is understand where each other is at now and figure out how to weave in that intimacy under these new rules, if you will, this new way of being.
Yeah. Your normal is the only real normal.
Correct. And I think that was probably the most helpful to me, right? You know, I think that, again, society and books and movies and TV force us to believe that, you know, oh my God, I'm doing things wrong because I'm not, like, blowing my husband every single day. Realistically, those that are able to do it, good on you. But, like, realistically, like, there's not always enough time to do that, not with life and the things that are a part of life. And so I don't need to necessarily feel badly about not doing that. But what you and I can do is figure out what a schedule for that might look like, if that's something that we've decided is important to our relationship. So, you know, is Wednesday blowing day? Like, you know, and that's just what ends up happening. And we set aside time, and I know, and I'm prepared and ready to go during that time. Is that what it's going to look like? And if so, then that gives you something to look forward to. That gives me something to prepare for. And that is how we can do our quote unquote normal. That is what is normal within our household and how we do those things. And you're happy and I'm happy and I'm happy that you're happy and you're happy that I'm happy and everybody is good, right? That is what it's going to look like for us. And instead of, again, thinking that I'm supposed to be Olivia and Fitz and that's how it, no. We wrote our own romance novel. Move over, Nicholas Sparks.
Wow. You were doing so well.
But anyways, that's what I liked it. I really, really enjoyed this topic.
There you go.
Awesome. Tell us what you thought about it. We would love to hear from you. How do you and your partner schedule intimacy? Do you schedule intimacy? And if so, like, what has worked for you? I think it's super fun. So anyways, make sure you join in on the conversation via Patreon. If you're not a Patreon member, then you are really, really, really missing out, girl. So check us out this week. Tony and I have our Critelli crap segment, which is going to be really fun to hear. And then we play a couple of intimacy games with each other as well. Well, we ask each other questions from an intimacy game to try to help build that intimacy a little bit more. Don't you love it?
To you being sexy?
Is it not working?
Does it sound like it worked?
Maybe I should have scheduled it. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Bye.
Mondays are the worst, aren't they?
Boo, you whore!
That part. But you know, there is one way to fix the Mondays.
How do you do that, Marco?
It is by being a part of the DNR Studios family.
Oh.
That way, because everyone knows that we release new episodes of Relationship every Wednesday, but if you're a part of the DNR Studios family, you get access to it on Monday, and you're not a part of the basic bitchiness that is taking place on Wednesdays.
God, I hate those basic bitches.
They're the absolute worst.
But Marco, something this awesome sounds like it would be really expensive.
It is not, Tony. Thank you for leading me into that.
Tell me more.
For just $12.95 a month, you get access to Relationship on Mondays instead of Wednesdays. Again, basic bitches. And you also have access to a bunch of other shows that are part of the DNR Studios network. So you can hear episodes from Adam Sank, from If These Ovaries Could Talk, as well as Derek and Romaine's daily live show, which is really fun as well.
Ooh.
Yeah. And then you can also pay $6.95 a month and just get a Relationship specific subscription. That way you can hear us again on Mondays ahead of the basic bitches, and everything is lovely for you on your Mondays.
Wow, that wasn't nearly as expensive as I thought it would be.
Thank you, random person who's a part of this commercial. Yeah, so check it out. We love being a part of the DNR Studios network, and we know that you're going to love being a part of their family. So head over to dnrstudios.com right now, sign up for your very own subscription, and get access to Relationship as well as many other podcasts and shows that are part of the DNR Studios family.
Don't be a basic bitch.
Exactly.
It's kind of assumed that in every couple, you have one person that's better at the finances than mm-hmm. the other. And I don't think either one of us have that.
You were like a business major in college, taking accounting and shit.
Financial accounting was, I did drop out of that class.
Hello, folks. I'm Robin Hopkins, and this is Well Adjusting, where I talk to people about life stuff, but you know, not in an NPR way, more like a we're at the bar and we're having cocktails and I am getting into your business sort of way.
Oh, we love a cocktail.
Oh, and producer Steph is here too.
Oh yeah, hi, that's me.
We chat managing grief, getting therapy, how to get promoted, and saving a buck or two. Because let's be honest, people, Social Security is probably going to be gone by the time you get there. Womp, womp, womp.
I am weaponizing this fear in order to keep myself from going to therapy.
I joke that she's not 6 feet under, she's 6 feet up because she's like in a wall in a mausoleum.
I think for the first time in my life, I couldn't find a reason not to do this.
Well Adjusting drops on October 24th. Get it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or I don't know, wherever you're listening these days. Outer space, I don't know. You know, it's not unheard of for people to ask me for my spreadsheets.
All right, now it's time for our listener situations.
That's right. Leave us a voicemail with your relationship situations by calling us at 903-POD-SHIT. That's 903-763-7448.
Or you can still send your situations or comments to us at relationshipquestions@gmail.com or on our website, podrelationship.com.
Tony and I will listen to your voicemails or read your emails here on the show and do our best to give some guidance, because I got pearls beneath my legs, my lips, my hands, my hips. I got diamonds beneath my thighs where his ego will find bliss. Can't find an ocean deep that can compete with the cinnamon kiss. Fire beneath your feet, music when you speak, you're so unique.
unique.
It's about time. Jesus. That only took a millennia.
Wow. So from there, I think we'll just go right into our letters. So first, let me say my apologies for every time I called y'all basic bitches for writing in and not calling in. Turns out there was an issue with the voicemail.
I mean,
but some of you are still
listening. I was going to say, I still stand very much so by it.
I'm kidding. About the apology part.
Yeah, right.
So hopefully that'll get fixed. All right. So our first
Sorry, a little context really quickly. Our voicemail is apparently not working. And so if you have been sending your listener situations, we haven't heard it yet. We haven't been getting them. So they're working on it. Continue to send them. We will definitely answer them at some point.
Correct. All right. First email. Hi, Cartelli guys. I'm Jason, and my husband is Mark. We live in Maryland and have been together for 11 years. Congratulations. My situation is this. I want to surprise my husband with a new car, but I don't know what kind to get him. He's only ever driven sedans and coupes, but I think he might like something sporty or a crossover. I don't know cars. I actually had to look up most of those terms, and I really don't want to miss the mark on this one. What do you guys think I should do?
Don't surprise him. Take him to the dealership with you and let him decide which car he wants. Like, I feel like it's pretty simple. Don't do that. If you have no idea what car to get him, and we're not talking about buying him a piece of jewelry, right? You're talking about an actual vehicle, tens of thousands of dollars.
And years of commitment.
Yeah. So I would 1000% say, tell him, hey, I want to go buy you a car. Where are we going? And let him tell you exactly where you guys should go. And then let him pick out exactly what he wants. And you'll be sweet that way. Like, you don't have to surprise him with a brand new car that way. That's just silly. It's silly. You don't have to make it that difficult for yourself.
Agreed. Yes, definitely. It doesn't have to be surprise. You could totally do it together and that would still be just as cute. But if you are dead set on the surprise part, maybe talk to somebody that he knows or somebody from his family. So a friend or a family member, and have them bring up the fact that they're going to get a new car. And they're wondering, like, just casually bring it up during the conversation. You know, make sure it's somebody who can actually lay the groundwork right. But have it come up casually in a conversation. Like, if you were going to get a car and it didn't matter, you know, money wasn't an issue and it didn't matter that your car is not old enough yet, you know, what would you get? You could certainly do that. But again, you'd have to pick the very right person because some people are terrible at that.
I also feel like, again, I'm having like flashbacks to Roland trying to do Moira's surprise.
Birthday. Yeah,
it was a whole thing. But anyways, again, I feel like if you're getting ready to do all that groundwork, you might as well just like say like, hey, get dressed. I'm going to take you somewhere and then like hop in the car and say, I'm going to take you to a car dealership and buy you a new car. Where are we going? And let them tell you where they're going and buy. It's still a surprise. You see what I'm saying?
still a lovely gesture.
Still were not expecting it. Everything about it is still very, very kind and loving and really, really sweet. And you don't have to go crazy about it. Like, I don't overthink this. Like, literally simplify the situation. I think part of the problem and what ends up becoming a huge issue for a lot of people is that they try so hard to do the, like, flash mob, big bow on the car hood and Instagrammable moments to make them do those things. And sometimes all of that is literally just for production. The simplest thing that you can do is let them know that you were thinking about them and wanted to do something kind for them and give them exactly what they want or give them input on it and kind of make it a super sweet moment that is shared between the two of you. It does not have to be this like grandiose, crazy thing. I would be furious if you bought me a car and brought up this car that I like did not have any input on. Again, because it's a car. There's a difference between buying your partner a sweater and being like, oh, I bought you this sweater. And like, it's like, oh my God, that was like super sweet. And you know, like that, that is simple. But then like buying a car, I remember, I know they're listening to this right now, but I had a friend who their then partner bought a house without their input.
Yeah,
was like, I want to buy this. This is going to be like our house. And that scared this person so much because they were like, a fucking house? A house. We're talking, again, tens of thousands. A house is hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of a commitment.
Right.
And we have not even talked about what our future is going to look like and all of these other things. And then you bought me a house that I don't get to like tell you how I feel about the house or like what I want or the things that I care about within this house. Again, that's the same thing about the car. You might be able to know that, like, yes, they like an Infiniti. But guess what? There are like 40 different models of Infinities. And maybe there's a particular one that they want. There's a particular year that they want. There's a particular color that they want.
Like, features.
There's features. There's things that are important. You don't know these things. So instead of doing that, and again, your heart is in the right place, but like, don't overcomplicate this for yourself. Like, literally just like super simplify it. And again, we're hopping in the car. Like, I'm getting ready to buy you a new car. Where are we going? That would be sexy. Mm-hmm. That would be sweet. Mm-hmm. That would be very thoughtful. And that would feel very connected for me. Like, that would feel very connected. So like I said, just don't do too much. Like, reel it back, girl.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways that could go sideways.
So many. I don't know. Oh, I don't know why. And I don't know why I'm so like, I don't know why. I have an aversion to surprises. And I don't know why. I don't know what that is. Well, that's not true. I know exactly what it is. I'm a type A personality and I need to be in the know of what's happening. So I totally get that. But I also think that like, and there's something super sweet and fun about like, you know, like I want to do something super special for you and like not know, but like I need to know what's happening. Like I need to have insight into the situation so that that way I can like, I don't know, mentally prepare myself for these types of things. And I think that people try to take and make surprises so much bigger than they have to be. And I think it's just chill. Bring it back. You're in like fourth gear right now. Like, come on, girl. Come on back to second, girl.
We didn't even discuss that. Do they know standard?
Yeah.
Oh, my. All right. This next one didn't say who it was from, but it starts out like this. The holidays have always been a stressful time for my girlfriend and I. There are a lot of visitors to our home, places that we have to go, kids and friends that I have never met, plus both our families have a lot of birthdays between October and December, including mine. It's tough for me, especially because my girlfriend always wants to say yes to any and all events. We can afford it and are fortunate enough to each have our own businesses, so we can take the time off no problem. I just get exhausted, then I end up taking more time off just to decompress after the holidays. I don't feel normal until like the beginning of February. Plus, my business is retail, so it should be all hands on deck as often as possible, not on the holiday per se, but at least leading up to them. I don't want to disappoint anyone, but I just cannot imagine another end of year dealing with all of this. Please.
I don't know the question.
I mean, I guess it's implied that, like, what can I do to not engage in all this chaos so much?
Don't engage.
Oh, you're just being bitchy. I thought you genuinely didn't know the question.
No, I don't understand the question. There was no question at the end of that. Like, I didn't understand. Like, what problem are you trying to have me, like, figure out? And, okay, you don't want to engage. That's totally fine. But, like, just don't. And I know that's easier said than done. But, no, I really didn't understand the question because there was no question at the end of it.
I thought you were being bitchy and you were like, there's only one right response.
I literally didn't know what the question was. No, this is a very, very difficult thing. And I think Tony and I have very much so had to navigate this system.
I think all couples have.
100%. But I also think that we have had, over the past few years, we have really had to try to navigate this because we as people that have families have obligations, right? And participation in things like the holidays is an obligation that literally falls on our shoulders every season, right? Like, it is just something that 1000% happens constantly. Lately, you and I have had to literally plant our feet in the ground and say, like, we are not doing X, Y, and Z. We are not coming to this state. We are not going to be cooking this meal. We will not be there. And a lot of that has a lot to do with, how do I put this gently? Validating our lives and what is going on with us and how our situation is just as important as everything else. And these quote unquote obligations that you continue to instill on us as a family. And so we need to pay attention to what's going on with us and what we need and how we feel good and the things that are going to work for us as well. And so your job and your business is super duper important. And what is going on with you is 1000% important. And if the people in your family cannot respect you enough to understand that, you know what, I might have to sit this one out because I have a business, I have a family, I have things that I need to take care of, I have people that I have to take care of as it relates to this work. If they can't understand that, then that is the problem. That's the problem. They should be able to understand that, you know what, they would be here if they could be. Mm-hmm. And you need to really look at that and, again, start laying down the groundwork. You know, Tony and I do it in like October where we're like, we're not going anywhere for this day and this day. And for us, part of the issue has been because we have two aging animals for the most part.
Aged. They already aged.
Yep. And we, during the holidays, like all of our friends and family, if you will, the people that have been part of our chosen family have been, they're from out of state as well. So obviously during the holidays, they're going back to go visit their families and their friends and doing those types of things. So we don't necessarily have animal care or child care. You know, we don't have that. Mm-hmm. And so we can't, and I'm not getting ready to board my animals during the holidays because you want me to come eat some dry ass turkey.
It better not be dry.
Like,
spend all this money. The least you could do is make the turkey moist.
So I'm just not going to do that. And obviously our family is upset about it because they, you know, they would love to have us there. But if they don't understand that, then that's their bad. Like, because there's nothing that we can do. We want to stay with our animals. Tony and I want to create and live in the world that we've created here in New York for us. And if y'all want to participate in it, you're more than welcome to be here. You can come here. Everyone's invited, but we are not going to make our way down there. Do you see? And I think that that is just what you need to say to the family. Obviously not as curt or blunt as I may do at times, but
100% of the time.
But I think that it needs to be one of those things like, yo, like, I have a business. Like, I have people that I have to take care of that, like, rely on me for their living wages. Mm. Like, I can't just be like, good luck, y'all. Bye. Like, I'm going to go celebrate while you run my business and take care of everything. That's not fair to people.
Right.
And so, like, they, you know, so it just needs to be made clear and figure out where you can, you know, go here and go there. But it also might have to be a discussion with, like, hey, just so you know, like, we're gonna have to figure something different out, because I definitely have to be here for this time. I might be able to, you know, break away for this time, but if y'all want to see us, you're gonna have to come over here and do this. And make sure that your partner knows and understands that as well. Like, this is not me, like, dipping or dodging or ducking or diving out of the situation. This is literally me, like, trying to be responsible. Like, I can't call myself an entrepreneur and then be completely oblivious or not pay any attention to our livelihood in this way. Like, mm-hmm. I can't do that. So we have to find out a new way and talk to your partner about it. And your partner should be understanding and work with you to figure out the best way to make that happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you covered it very well. The only things that I, you know, would add is you mentioned in your email that your girlfriend is like always saying yes. Well, that's a private conversation you should probably be having. Be like, you can't do that anymore. Nope. Nope. You can't say yes to everything. And I get to have needs and wants too.
Yeah.
So the option is not just, well, you can't say yes for both of us. It's like, no, because you can't say not yes for me. Like, I want you here.
Yeah.
So like, how come they get to have you the whole time? So that's part of it too.
It's a huge adjustment too. Like, one of the things like I both love and hate about being even married is that anything that gets brought to my attention, I definitely have to do the like, I have to talk to my husband about it type of stuff. And I love that, right? Like, I love that I have a collaborator. Like, I love that I have that. And it's really wonderful, but I also hate it because it's like, oh, I no longer can think and do for just myself. There's somebody else that's involved. And that is definitely a switch that has to be flipped in your brain, right? Where every decision is no longer just affecting you, right? There is somebody else that's a part of it. And so I love it. I love it because I love that. That's the reason why I got married. But I also hate it because I miss the days of it just being super easy and being like, oh yeah, you want me to go here? Like, girl, I'm there, kind of thing like that. Like, it's like totally easy. But your partner needs to understand that, like, hi, do you remember me?
Hello.
The other part of this relationship. Yes, sweetheart. I have 50% needs.
50% right here.
Yeah. I have some needs. I have some wants. Uh-huh. I have some thoughts on the situation as well. And so you have to consider me.
I've also never understood, like, I mean, I get why it's a big deal because it's family. It's important. But like, I'm such a pragmatic person that like, there's just some logistics. Like, there's only so many iterations of what the holidays could look like. I go, I don't go. You come here. If you come here, there's only so many beds. So if we limit the people, you know, if you all are going to come here, then we have to limit the people, or we have to get a hotel and go to some other place. Like, there's just so, like, yes, it's logistics, but there's only so many permutations of it. Like, so I always find it interesting. It's like, oh, we always do Thanksgiving at this one person's house. Well, what would it look like if you did Thanksgiving somewhere else? Oh, well, only these few people could go. Okay, well, then they can go and the other people can decide what they want to do. Like, you know, even the act of saying, I'm the one who always hosts, you're making decisions for other people. You're saying everyone's going to come here and everyone is expected to come here because there's enough room. And then if people don't come, you're like guilty or disappointed. You're like, ah, just because you're hosting doesn't mean I can host too. Like, that's okay. And it's okay, again, to rotate it. I've never understood. Just have a conversation. I mean, yeah. I get it. It's a family, so it's like really tough because that's a lot of people and a lot of pieces that are moving, but you can still do it. Yeah. You can still do it. I would just do it via email.
I'm a head-on kind of person. Like, definitely.
Oh,
like,
I just don't want the conversation to last 4 hours.
No, I mean, again, I'm a head-on person. So, because again, what does RuPaul say? If they're not fucking you, feeding you, or funding you, then they don't necessarily have any opinions on the things that you do. And I think that that is super important. So you can go into the discussion saying like, look, here are the circumstances. I'm not going to go back and forth with you about this. This is where I'm at. This is what I am willing to do. I'm hoping you will participate. If you won't or can't or don't, like, I totally get it. I'm literally changing the script right now. I get it. It's different. It's really, really different. But this is where I'm at right now. Mm-hmm. Do you want to participate in some kind of way? I hope you will. But again, I understand if you won't. Like, I totally get that. That's completely fine. But just know that I won't be eating your candied yams this year. Like, do you see what I'm saying? Like, and that's just going to have to be what it is.
Yeah.
And like I said, I hope things will be able to be different and we can find a new way to do it. I'm literally going through this with my family right now as it relates to the holidays, because again, we have our animals and I can't go anywhere at any given time because we just don't have the ability to have our animals watched while we're out. And I don't want to make that other people's responsibility. That's ours. We decided to have animals.
Right.
And I don't want to have to force other people to take over my responsibilities. It's not fair to them. And, you know, there are people in my family that believe that we should just, you know, travel to one locale and that's just the way that it's supposed to be. And I'm like, But there are so many variables. I have a husband. I have a husband who has a family. I have a husband whose family thinks that we should be there for, you know, for those things. I have, again, the animals. I have what we want to do, what we don't want to do. We also have, you know, it's the most expensive time of the year.
Well, that's what I was going to say, too.
And buying two tickets to go anywhere is going to cost you no less than $1,000.
And I'm
days.
Sorry, this is my money. That's not how I want to spend it. That doesn't mean I don't want to see you. It doesn't mean I don't want to be around you at a time when we can all have fun. But like, you can have a barbecue in the summer, you know?
Or we can like do, you know, a family holiday in January. Yeah. Do you see what I'm saying?
I've always
like, we can totally do it. There are just ways to do it. And again, I hope you will participate. But if you don't, I totally get it. Because again, I'm changing things and I understand that, but I am going to respectfully ask you to respect me and what I am saying and understand that this is where I'm at. And that is super important. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Give me my grace.
Hello. Whoop, there it be.
There it be. All right. Last one. So this one is another email. So, hi, Marco. Hey, Tony. I've been listening to your show since it started, but it has taken me several years to work up the courage to actually write in. But I need your guidance. My boyfriend and I get along great, but when we do argue, it is intense. It doesn't get physical or anything, but he does get loud. He says hurtful things, and he often does so in public. It's almost exclusively in the context of him drinking. That's not a surprise. I've tried everything to get him to have conversations with me only when he is sober. I've sat him down to check in before we go out to drink to see if we need to discuss anything first. I've refused to engage when he starts arguing. I've asked him to slow down when I think I see where the night is going. Nothing seems to work. I love him dearly, and everything else in our relationship is great. I just can't stand when he drinks and argues with me in front of my friends or outside of a bar. People stare, and I feel like an idiot. What do I do? Signed, Jonathan.
I mean, there's a lot going on here. There's a few things. First of all, what I will say is, like, fuck what other people think. Like, that shit shouldn't matter. Like that doesn't really matter. Like, at the end of the day, like, sure, it might not be, like, the best thing to be doing, but, like, who fucking cares? But I will, so that's one part of it, right? And that's not disregarding your feelings about the situation. That's just saying, like, I think that we as people get so caught up on optics that is kind of like, it's silly. Like, sure. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, we don't have to do that. And it doesn't matter if he's sober or drunk, if he's feeling a feeling in that moment, sometimes he probably, it's more than likely that he just needs to express it in that moment. And while it's not the most productive way of doing it, you do have to understand that maybe those things just need to happen in that moment. And y'all need to find a way to argue effectively. There's an episode of the podcast that we did many seasons ago about how to argue correctly. That said, okay. I would very much so tell him we can't be together anymore, because every single time that you want to have an argument, it is laced with vodka, and I am not interested in fighting. We're a couple. We're going to fight. We're going to have disagreements. Right. Those things are going to happen. I totally get it. But I cannot argue with a drunk person all the time. It is exhausting, it is embarrassing, and it is not productive. And so we can't be together anymore if this is how you are going to be within a relationship. Because long term, this is just not something that I want to deal with. So again, I say all that because I'm not trying to disregard your feelings about the public displays of craziness. Because I do get where that comes from, but I also think that we could afford to stop caring what the fuck other people have to say about anything. And that's kind of me trying to tell myself that more so than you, right? It just so happens that this is coming up at the same time. But that being said, if this is a pattern and this is what's going on, I would very seriously consider not being together. Because I don't know about you, and you're writing in here, so it leads me to believe that you feel the same way I do, but I wouldn't be able to continue to do that.
Mm.
That would be a problem for me.
Yeah.
And so, and then I would also, there's another thing I would do, a little side story. I would figure out what he's drinking and if there's a consistency in what he's drinking that's making him do that.
Mm.
I found that when I was drinking vodka, I was a lot more heated and a lot quicker to anger and was having issues. And so I don't drink vodka anymore. I'm not saying that that was like the solution and like that's the best way to go about it, but maybe there's something there. Maybe there's nothing there, but I would totally try to figure that out. I do find that I can be a lot happier and lighter on things like tequila or Prosecco and things of that nature. So like I tend to stay in that. But again, that could be total junk science and there's nothing there to it. But at the same, yeah, I would have a very hard time being with this person.
Yeah. Wow. I'm glad you switched to that caveat. Cause I was going to say for the first time ever, I'm going to be the harsh one out of the two of us because I agree. I think that, yeah, put your foot down. So you have choices. You can not drink around me anymore. We cannot, and we're going to deal with this, right? And see what actually comes out of, like, now we have to argue this way. So you could do that. Or, yeah, we can't be together. You keep doing this. I've tried everything I can. And you know, I mean, the only difference for me would be in the approach. It's like, hey, I don't want to break up with you, and I need your help in figuring this out because I've tried everything I can, and this is not working. But all I can see now is us breaking up over this, and I'd really like for that not to happen. So what can we do? And invite the person in and make it a safe space and make it clear that you're not, like, trying to...
It's not your goal.
Yeah, right? Yeah. That you do want to be together. You just can't under these circumstances. But yeah, I agree. Do not put up with that, like, at all. And I agree with Marco, but in the sense of, like, validating, like, if you feel like an idiot, like, you shouldn't have to feel like an idiot. And it doesn't matter. Like, your partner should want you to not feel like an idiot. So regardless of whether we say, well, fuck other people or not, you feel how you feel. Your partner should not want you to feel that negative feeling.
Totally.
And that should be motivation enough. Totally. And that is a standard I think we should hold your boyfriend to.
Cool. Yeah. I don't disagree. Yeah. And I think that, like, I can appreciate that you are trying to, like, address things while sober so that that way while they're drinking that there's no problems. Mm-hmm. But you also need to know and understand that, like, sometimes shit happens outside of the four walls of your comfort zone, right? So sometimes there's, like, little things that take place outside. Sometimes it's the way you looked at someone. Sometimes it's the things that you said to them. Maybe you were condescending. Maybe you hurt their feelings. And you can't control a person's feelings, right, like, about things. And so, like, I again, totally can appreciate that you tried to be good ahead of going out, but you can't control. I mean, as good as you are at a lot of those things, you cannot control what's getting ready to happen during a night out. So know and understand that, like, it's out of your hands. Like, you don't know. But I would ask him, what is the root of all this? Like, it seems like every time you get drunk, you're mad at me about something. What is happening there? Like, is something happening? Am I doing something while you're drunk that you might be seeing or misinterpreting or maybe not. That I say? I mean,
it's probably that they're angry about you. They're angry at you about something else and they just can't talk to you about it. And then they get drunk and those things come falling out of their face. It's
totally possible.
Yeah. It's very totally likely, possible. I would say. Yeah.
Very likely. It could also be something as stupid as, like, and you're right, it could be something as stupid as, like, a misinterpretation of a conversation that you had with somebody else at the bar. Mm-hmm. It could be a number of things. I will say that one of the things that like sucks about alcohol, we're victims of this as well, is for some strange reason, like moods change when alcohol gets involved, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, I can have a really great time with you and everything is fine with us. And then all of a sudden, like you get a little bit of alcohol and then like you turn into an asshole or vice versa, right? And something happens and we're kind of like,
whoops,
wait, what just happened? Like we were having a really good time. Yeah.
Should have stopped two sips ago.
Sure. And that can be a problem. And I am one of those people that like, I need to address things right here, right now, because I don't enjoy carrying things on super long term. I'm not a fake it till you make it kind of person. I'm like a like, wait, what the fuck just happened? Why did you do this? And like, what needs to happen so that like this doesn't happen again? Because I'm not interested in going in front of our friends and pretending that we're fine when in all reality, we're going to yell at each other when we get home. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not good at that. Like, right. I just am not good at that. And so I am the person that's like, what the hell happened? Like, you thought that that was cool to do that? Or you what happened? Like, what is going on? We need to have a conversation. I'm not like a yelling in public kind of person, but I am definitely like a broach the situation. Mm-hmm. Right then and
right
there.
Now.
Yeah, right then and there type person. I am that person. So I can understand why their feelings might get the best of them and they might want to talk about it right then and there. Right. But if it's becoming a scene and it's becoming consistent, then there's a bigger issue at play that y'all need to address. Mm-hmm. And I would definitely do that. So it sucks. But again, after a while, I would be like, I can't do this. Like, this is a lot. Like, you're embarrassed. Like, not even that you're embarrassing me, but like,
I just don't want this.
This is toxic. Mm-hmm. Like, this is like a problem. This. Yeah.
And it sounds like a while has been reached already. So
yeah,
put that foot down.
All the way down. All the way down. Do you know that song? It's actually called On the Way Down, but... by Ryan, shout out to Ryan Cabrera. You don't know who that is.
You have no idea. No. We know the answer to this.
Anyways, I guess that's going to conclude this month's listener situations.
Sorry, she blew.
There you go. Again, y'all, if you have listener situations, please reach out to us so that we can try to solve your shitty problems. Obviously we're going to do our best to give you some guidance. So make sure you give us a call. It is 903-POD-SHIT. That's 903-763-7448. Or you can email us at relationshipquestions@gmail.com. Or you can even head to our website, podrelationships.com, and submit right there on the main page. But yeah, give us more of your problems. We'll shoulder them. Well, Tony and I are going to take a short break, but we'll be back in just a bit, y'all. Hang tight. Do you hear that?
Hear what?
It's the sound of our listeners donating money on Patreon so they can get access to more relationship content outside of the weekly podcast.
Oh, I can hear it now.
Seriously, though, head over to patreon.com/podrelationship right now and become a relationship podcast donor. Contribution starts at just $3 a month. That's less than the cost of your frou-frou coffee from that nameless coffee chain that burns their beans.
Very covert of you.
I know, right?
Anyway, other tiers are $5, $10, and $25 a month, with extra relationship content at each level. You can start listening to segments like Critelli Crap, our monthly airing of our dirty relationship laundry.
Or Guests Take on Shit, our invitation for guests to comment on the week's topic and give their thoughts and guidance so we all get a different perspective.
Other segments include Shit Thrown at You, our rapid-fire Q&A for guests, or board games Marco and I play with each other. Some insightful and helpful, and others hilarious or risque. All this is available to you at different levels of donation.
There is so much more relationship content at patreon.com/podrelationship, and now is the time to start donating.
Not only does your contribution help run the podcast behind the scenes, but it allows us to learn more about you and what you want to hear from us, making the podcast a community effort and labor of love.
So head to, say it with me now, patreon.com/podrelationship right now and start donating today.
We want to thank you ahead of time for your contribution to the podcast and continuing to support us the way you have for all these years.
We love you all and we'll see you on Patreon.
Bye.
All right. So, of course, before we get out of here, I have a few things to put on y'all's radar.
Some shit, in fact.
Indeed. First things first is Tony and me and Tony's, our anniversary is coming up soon. It is our 6-year wedding anniversary. And so we are enlisting the help from our listeners. We're trying to get this figured out right now because apparently our voicemail situation is not working. That's a work in progress, but there is an alternative. If you would be so kind as to record a beautiful, kind voice memo message for me and Tony, giving us well wishes on our 6th wedding anniversary, and then shoot them over to us via email at relationshipquestions@gmail.com. And Tony and I will splice them together so that we can have a wonderful, beautiful segment from all of our listeners wishing us a happy wedding anniversary and telling us how important and lovely we are to them. That would be super duper kind. We're, again, trying to work on our voicemail. That is, again, a work in progress. So we'll keep you posted on what that ends up looking like. But I don't want to slow down the momentum of anyone getting their messages out to us. So again, record a voice memo on your cell phone and then email the file to relationshipquestions@gmail.com. And Tony and I will, again, put that together in a episode right before our wedding anniversary so that you can hear your gorgeous voice wishing us a gorgeous wedding anniversary. So that's number one. Number two is rate and review, y'all. It has been a minute since we have asked y'all to do that, but we really need your help. So head on whatever podcast platform that you are listening to Relationship right now and give us a 5-star review and give us a rating. It really helps within the podcast algorithm. If somebody is listening to another podcast, it helps suggest other really great podcasts for them to listen to. And we would love for Relationship to be a part of that mix. Also, it kind of bumps us up in terms of like great podcasts to check out. So head to, especially Apple Podcasts, head to Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, anywhere you Spotify, anywhere you're listening to the Relationship podcast and stop for 10 seconds and give us a 5-star rating and a perfect review so that everyone has the opportunity to check us out and listen to the podcast and then suggest it to some friends and family and anybody that you think might benefit from this content. We try to be all inclusive in terms of realistically, it's a relationship podcast. And I think a lot of these things apply to anybody's relationship. Obviously, we're going to do it through a queer lens and a gay male lens. But we really do find that a lot of people listen to this podcast can be heterosexuals and anything in between and have a really good time listening to the content. So definitely please rate and review. That would be beyond helpful. We really appreciate y'all in that help with that. And then finally, the last thing I had for y'all was about t-shirts. So head to podrelationship.com/shop and buy a Relationship t-shirt right now. Super duper important. We would like to clear the remainder of our inventory out because we have some ideas coming up for some things that we would like to create, but we need to earn some money so that we can use some of that to make some more Relationship products. So definitely head over there, buy some t-shirts. Stock is very low in some sizes. So we apologize. You know, some better people got them before you, which was really great. But anyways, that being said, head to podrelationship.com/shop and buy a Relationship t-shirt right now. And that's it. I think that's all I have for these hoes.
Well, then that's going to do it for this week's episode. We hope you enjoyed this really important conversation.
Thanks for tuning in to the Relationship Podcast, part of the DNR Studios Network.
Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram at Pod Relationship. Don't forget to subscribe and rate us, like Marco said. And welcome to Season 6. sex.
Continue to send your relationship situations to our phone number, which is 903-POD-SHIT. That's 903-763-7448. Hopefully we have a gigantic backlog of all of your issues and we will play them on an upcoming episode. You can also email us at relationshipquestions@gmail.com or submit on our website, podrelationship.com.
And be sure to check out the Relationship blog on our website every Friday, where I muse a bit further on the topic of the week.
A big thank you to our Patreon members. We hope you enjoyed this month's edition of Critelli Crap and this week's bonus content. Another special thank you to our DNR Studio subscribers. We hope you enjoyed the early access to the week's episode. Tony and I will harass your ears next week.
And remember, schedule some intimacy and see what happens. Don't judge that shit before you try it.